the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. It is the 26th day of October 2021, and we are in the COVID vaccine death spiral, the one that we knew was coming as soon as the left decided that only zero COVID cases would be sufficient to return life to normal. Well, COVID-19 is never going away, so they're just going to be insane forever. There's an advice letter that just ran on the liberal website called Slate.com. In it, a mother describes a horrific account. She returned home to discover her daughter hanging out with a friend, sitting on the same couch, not wearing masks, eating from the same bowl of chips. In other words, living the way children have lived throughout all of history. But this was in flagrant violation of her parents' order to stay at least 5 feet away from everything and be masked at all times to protect herself from a virus that poses statistically zero risk to healthy children. So how did the parent respond? By locking her child in her room for 2 weeks. That's not health and safety. It's child abuse. And mentally ill liberals are committing it every single day. But that's not the child abuse that authorities are investigating. Instead, Child Protective Services are now being summoned to investigate parents who keep their children home from schools that are mandating shots or pursuing insane safety protocols. Parents are losing custody of their children because they object to these jabs or because they have not yet themselves been vaccinated. And now they want to make this child abuse national policy. The FDA Advisory Committee is holding a meeting today to discuss authorizing this Pfizer jab for children ages 5 to 11 years old. Now, keep in mind, there is zero actual value to giving this shot to children. Pretty much zero children get seriously ill from COVID-19. They're genuinely at more risk from the side effects of these dangerous jabs. But the FDA is inevitably going to ram through this authorization anyways because this isn't about health. This isn't about safety. This is about an obsession. This is about a new cult. This is about a religion. Vaccinating adults didn't make COVID go away, nor did vaccinating teenagers. So now, for those people, they're mandating booster shots. And soon they're going to mandate this shot for preschoolers. Some people are already vaccinating their pets. Some people will soon be watering their houseplants with vaccines. Obviously, left-wing health derangement is all that's needed for these pseudo-authorities to force vaccines on everyone. But that's not the only motivation they have. A lot of the members of this FDA advisory committee have extensive past relationships with Pfizer. Patrick Holley is a senior reporter at National File. He's here on that.
Yes, that's right, Stu. The FDA's Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee is having a virtual meeting today about whether or not to authorize the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for children between 5 and 11 years old. Now, the Biden administration is expecting that they're going to authorize it, and they are already planning to send vaccines to schools. Gavin Newsom has already mandated, pending federal authorization, mandatory vaccines for children. So you're going to get kindergartners and first graders getting the jab by force in the state of California. And it just turns out that numerous members and temporary voting members of this committee that is meeting today have massive, massive connections to Pfizer, have worked for Pfizer, have taken money from Pfizer. The committee's acting chair, Arnold S. Monto, has recently been a paid Pfizer consultant. Archana Chatterjee worked on a research project pertaining to vaccines for infants. The project ended in 2020, and it was sponsored by Pfizer. Myron Levine has mentored postdoctoral fellows, and one of his proteges happens to be Raphael Simon, the senior director of vaccine research and development at Pfizer. Gita Swami is listed as the current chair of an independent data monitoring committee, aka a clinical trial, sponsored by Pfizer. Greg Sylvester was a vice president of Pfizer vaccines for years, and he launched multiple Pfizer vaccines, including one for children. James Hildreth actually made a financial disclosure for this meeting. He has an interest totaling more than $1.5 million because he is the president of a medical college that administers Pfizer vaccines. Not to mention, you've got Stephen Pergam there proudly posing for photos after getting his first and second dose of the Pfizer vaccine. There are temporary voting members who have been added to this committee for this committee meeting. And these people are people who are already on record advocating for the authorization of vaccines for kids. Ofer Levy of Boston Children's Hospital, the list goes on and on. Now, reportedly, this very committee authorized the previous Pfizer vaccine for adults in just 4 days. We remember that Scott Gottlieb, the recent former FDA commissioner, is on the board of directors of Pfizer. This is what is called the revolving door. This is what you see when government regulatory agencies are doing the bidding of private corporations that have a financial stake in this business. And then government will carry out the next step and mandate and force children, despite not knowing what the risks of this vaccine are going to be, they will do this because Pfizer is in control here.
But haven't we already seen what the results of this vaccine are going to be in the age group of 12 to 17, specifically with boys in that age group that are six times more likely to have a serious heart condition or reaction to this thing than they are to have a serious illness from the so-called virus in and of itself?
That is absolutely true. We've seen the coercion all over the country in trying to get children to take that vaccine in Phoenix, you know, handing out free backpacks and school supplies to get the kids vaccinated. Colorado Governor Jared Polis wants young people to lie to their parents and secretly get the vaccine. And the really disturbing thing here is if you choose not to send your kids into this psychotic hell pit called public education, then you will potentially be targeted by CPS. At least 90 families in Washington, D.C. alone have been reported to CPS for educational neglect. They claim there's approximately 30 serious investigations going on. Okay. They are going to go after homeschool parents because they believe in collectivist child rearing. That's what Hillary Clinton's It Takes a Village mentality is all about. Her mentor, Mary Jo Bain, in the 1970s said that the only way to assure equality for children is to take them away from their parents and to raise them collectively. And we know what they do with children. All over the country, we are seeing CPS abusing its power. We have seen this everywhere. And so this is not only about the coronavirus, this is also about critical race theory. If you don't want to send your kids to public school to have some morbidly obese, purple-haired, lunatic woman ranting at your children through a mask about how George Washington was a homophobe who tore down the black man's pyramids in Wakanda, or whatever it is that they teach in public schools now, and you want to homeschool your kids, they will use CPS as a mechanism to target you. And I don't want to scare anyone away from homeschooling. I am simply telling you that this is the mechanism that they are planning in order to demonize parents. We're seeing editorial cartoons of anti-critical race theory parents being depicted as Halloween killers. Okay, we're seeing the Biden administration targeting these parents as domestic terrorists. And so, you know, as you see, for instance, in Washington state, where their Department of Children, Youth, and Families had a job listing for CPS workers to supervise children in quarantine camps. And then when they tried to explain this after we busted them, they couldn't even describe if it was for kids who had tested positive or kids who have already been exposed. There was a lawyer in LA who I talked to said the Los Angeles County CPS agency recommended to the court that a parent who tested positive should have their child taken away. We've seen this happen in Oklahoma. We've seen this happen in Florida. We've seen this happen in Oregon. So what they are doing is they are rolling out an agenda of collectivist child rearing. Okay. And we know what happens to a lot of these children. It's the reason why it's state policy in the state of California that there's no Amber Alert that goes out for foster care children when they go missing. They're all listed as runaways and not missing children, because we know exactly where these kids are going. They're in prostitution rings. They are being child trafficked for sexual exploitation.
Wow. You know, tinfoil hat yesterday, vindication today because of your excellent work. Patrick Hawley, senior reporter at National File. You can find him on Gab at Patrick Reports. I suggest that you do. Great work, Patrick. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned. I'm interrupting this commercial right now. Retailers have canceled MyPillow, and to thank you for your support, I'm going to pass the savings directly on to you. Go to MyPillow.com right now to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. For example, you can get my premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now just $29.98, the lowest price ever.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Well, we were told that we needed mass vaccination to finally bring about herd immunity against coronavirus. So how's that going? Well, in Israel, despite almost universal vaccination, their third wave of COVID was their worst one yet. In the UK, despite deploying vaccines to nearly everything crawling and jabbing almost everyone, they're averaging more than 45,000 cases a day. How about America? Well, New York is the most tyrannical vaccine state, and it has more new cases per day than any other state. So how about that herd immunity? Vincent James is the founder of DailyVeracity.com. He produces the Daily Veracity show. He's been closely tracking vaccination rates versus COVID death rates, and he says that the data bears out a disturbing trend. The vaccine may actually make people less able to develop a fully robust immunity against COVID-19, and thanks to that, death rates among the, quote, fully vaccinated are rising. Vincent James joins us now. Thank you, brother, for being here. We appreciate it. So what you're saying and what you're finding statistically is that the shots, not only do they not provide immunity, but that also they've proven themselves to be very dangerous and in many cases deadly.
Yeah, so that study in particular was discovered by Alex Berenson, who was on Tucker Carlson the other day. But that study is not alone. So first of all, in America, as far as the vaccines go and how effective they are in preventing death and hospitalizations, we don't have good data here. Like the CDC stopped comprehensively tracking what they call breakthrough cases back in May, conveniently right before the breakthrough cases were supposed to happen. So we have really bad data here. But if you look at the data in countries that are way further ahead of us in vaccinations, you see a very disturbing trend. And so this was data from the UK, and according to the report, the vaccine basically interferes with your body's natural ability after infection to produce antibodies against not just the spike protein, but other pieces of the virus too. So vaccinated people, if this data is accurate, as opposed to unvaccinated people with natural infection, don't seem to be producing antibodies to the nucleocapsid protein, which is the shell of the virus and a crucial part of the response, your immune response. So it seems to be the case that vaccinated people are producing basically the vaccine is preventing vaccinated people from producing full immunity to the virus. And this study is not alone.
It's absolutely insane to me. I mean, it's crazy. Then you look at, we've talked about some of these numbers. So we've talked about what's going on in Israel. We talked about the UK. We talked about what's happening in New York. What we didn't mention is that over 70% of, quote, fully vaccinated hospitalized patients over the age of 65 with COVID are fully vaccinated. So, I mean, this thing is doing nothing. Now let's look at some positive data. How about India? They handed out little packets, $2 a piece. I believe they contained, what, ivermectin? No COVID in India. No shots in India either. So, I mean, what is this really all about?
Yeah, one state in India actually reached basically zero COVID with ivermectin. But the overall, the country of India, I think like 6% of the population is vaccinated. They found that like 90% of the population has herd immunity because of natural infection, which they admit, by the way, is far better than the immunity that the vaccines allegedly provide you with. But of course, the people who are naturally immune, they're not exempt from the vaccine mandates. And I think we all know why. There was a big study that was done. It was published in Nature. They say that 100 million people in 2020 were infected with COVID. So well above the numbers that they're giving us. This is the most comprehensive estimate ever done. 100 million people infected have natural immunity in 2020. After the Delta, they're saying it could be an additional 100 million people this year. So we're talking about 75% just about of the U.S. population who are naturally immune to the virus with robust, long-lived immunity, and they're completely, you know, they're not even being acknowledged.
If you mention the words natural immunity on Instagram, you will be deplatformed. Seriously.
Yeah, I've seen people, post
detects the words natural immunity, and they will ban you for talking about it. I have my theories. I'm always interested in hearing other people's. I haven't heard yet. What do you think this is all about?
Well, I mean, I think the easy answers are money, power, control, right? Especially money. I mean, look at what just happened in Sweden recently. I just saw this report. This is from the Daily Mail, published today. Sweden extends the pause of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine in young people under 30 due to concerns the shot is causing heart inflammation, myocarditis in young people. Now, here's the thing, because when you look at the data, the Pfizer vaccine is much more likely to do this. But we've had a pause on Moderna. We've had a pause on AstraZeneca. We've had a pause on
the Johnson & Johnson shot.
We've also basically banned people who have been vaccinated with the Sputnik V vaccine out of Russia from traveling to the West. But Pfizer's the only one that's exempt from all of this, even though the data show that their vaccine is much more likely to cause these problems. It's very interesting. It's
Patrick
very interesting.
Patrick Howley, senior reporter at National File, was just on the program not too long ago and said that he believes that this is because, and I don't know if you were aware of this, but this FDA advisory committee, the members that sit on this committee, who are, by the way, set to convene today and determine whether or not our preschoolers are jabbed with this proven to be dangerous, in many cases deadly shot, these members have extensive past histories with Pfizer. And he went through them.
Yeah.
The New World Government is Pfizer. Am I right or am I overstating this?
Did you see that compilation recently that's been going around of the news media? Like, as the introductions into the show, it's always like sponsored by Pfizer. There was like 20 or 30 different ones put together in this compilation. Yeah, I mean, Pfizer is the one that's shelling out the most cash. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. And Pfizer has been there for a very long time. And that study that we just talked about, as far as the vaccine preventing full immunity, you know, it's not alone. There was another study published recently that showed that fully vaccinated people are more likely to carry more resistant and more infectious variants. What they say in the study is, quote, fully vaccinated people were more likely than unvaccinated persons to be infected by variants carrying mutations associated with decreased antibody neutralization. So what this means is that the fully vaccinated people are not only not able to fight the virus as an unvaccinated person would, who is infected, but also they're more likely to carry more resistant strains. And another study, a preprint paper out of the Oxford University Clinical Research Group, shows that fully vaccinated people stave off their symptoms for an additional day. They become symptomatic later on, but they stave off their symptoms for an additional day, basically turning them into super spreaders. Because we know historically, asymptomatic spread is not the driver of pandemics, but with the fully vaccinated population and the population and that number growing, it seems to be the case that they are.
The entire problem here is the media. Yeah, the media is the entire problem. They're driving this. They're being completely dishonest.
Yeah.
They're pushing this thing. And it's essentially appalling. It's really appalling. I mean, this thing is not effective. It's dangerous. It's killing an alarming amount of people. More than double the amount of people have died from this shot than from all previously FDA-approved vaccines that have been rolled out in the history of this country. And now you're going to go to jail if you don't have it. You're going to have your kids taken away from you. They won't be able to go to school. I mean, this whole thing is absolutely insane. We better wake up right now or we're in for a world of hurt. DailyVeracity.com. Vincent James, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, something that we do know works is early treatment. And someone that told us that boasts a 99.9% success rate in treating high-risk COVID patients. Dr. Zev Zelenko saved thousands of lives in upstate New York. He's the Nobel Prize nominee, Presidential Medal of Freedom nominee. Yeah, because he saved thousands of lives. And because he's been deplatformed, risked it all to be a humanitarian out here trying to save lives by introducing this Z-Stack. You can go to the drugstore, get all the ingredients on your own. Good luck finding them all in one place. I don't like to deal with the dosing. I take one pill twice a day, zstackprotocol.com. It contains the quercetin, the zinc, the D3. It's the COVID killer. It also protects you against shedding, this phenomenon of getting ill by being around people who have been injected. It's inevitable. You're going to be. Whether you choose to get vaccinated or not, whether you choose to take this injection or not, you're going to be shed on. Don't shed on me, bro. I'm protected anyway. ZStackProtocol.com. Go to ZStackProtocol.com. Dr. Zev Zelenko will be with us later today to talk more about that. But right now, put yourself on auto ship to avoid shipping delays. They are finally all caught up. Everybody who has ordered it will get them in at least the next 2 weeks. He wanted me to make sure that I told you that. Go to ZStackProtocol.com. Put this thing on auto ship. Keep your family protected at ZStackProtocol.com. Well, our next guest is anonymous, as so many of our guests have to be. The Constitution might guarantee freedom of speech, but real freedom is in rapid decline here in America. Right now, the powerful make the rules and punish anybody who gets in the way. So our anonymous guest is a physical therapist. She has 20 years of experience, including 18 in a hospital setting. She's worked in cardiacs, trauma, and neurological settings, and she's worked in COVID ICUs. The point is, she's been there a long time, and she knows what she's talking about, and she can distinguish vaccine side effects from the normal ebb and flow of medical problems. Well, our anonymous source said that she saw a huge number of injuries and even deaths caused by COVID injections, but her overseers wouldn't report it, so she left. She wasn't going to take part in that cover-up. But for the past few weeks, our source has been working at a pediatric facility, and here's the terrifying part. Now our guest says that she's seeing children come up with the same kind of post-vaccination symptoms that she saw in adults before. This unnamed physical therapist joins us now. So you're concerned because you've seen injury and death with adults. You were concerned about the cover-up. You couldn't participate. Now you're working with kids and you're seeing the same exact thing. Would we have any reason to believe otherwise?
Absolutely not. I mean, it's the classic, exactly what I've been watching the last 10 months in adults. I'm starting to see in children, you know, as babies, toddlers, up to this facility sees kids up to 21 years old. So all ages.
What kind of adverse events, or what I would now call intended consequences? I had no problem with the term side effects if it's an honest error and people don't know that this is happening. But these are well-documented, so I now refer to them as intentional consequences. What intentional consequences are you seeing?
I'm seeing, you know, I've only been there a handful of days. I've been doing periodic shadowing days, training days over the last few weeks. So it's a total of 5 days, but I've seen children with exacerbation of seizures. I saw electrolyte imbalances in children that have G-tubes that should not have electrolyte imbalances. It's not heard of or not common. You know, I've seen children born in the last 2 years that have had strokes in utero, early on, neurological deficits, exacerbation, of neurological and cardiac issues. One of the therapists mentioned that the hand, foot, mouth disease that is common in children this time of year is the worst she's seen in years. Just illnesses, you know, a lot of that I'm attributing to being around their vaccinated parents and therapists and medical professionals that are vaccinated. These kids are getting what a lot of my co-workers in the hospital got from transmission and shedding.
So a lot of people will say, you know, there's a group of people that are really overreacting to the polarization of this particular vaccine. Spontaneous abortions, miscarriages, kids having medical difficulties. This has been going on since the beginning of time. People are just really focused on trying to blame it on this shot being falsely referred to as a vaccine for political reasons. That's the only reason that they're doing this. To those people, you say what?
I've been doing this for 20 years. I have experience way before COVID, the first initial COVID. I had experience in every flu epidemic before this. I saw every year flu, pneumonia, like clockwork. I have lots of experience in that. I can compare that to the first rollout of the pandemic, which was specific. And then the vaccine rollout, very different from the pandemic and from every flu season before. I've seen transmission and I've seen post-immediate and months after vaccination. I've seen the entire spectrum. 20 years of being a therapist, I have never seen what I've seen in this last year. Never. There's no comparison.
Do you see more kids sick from COVID or more kids sick from the jab?
In the entire time I've been in the hospital, 9 years, I have not seen, and in the last 2 years, I have not seen one child in that hospital for COVID. Not one in my community. If a child was tested positive for COVID, and I have children in the community, they were sent home, they had something very mild. What people don't realize is the PCR tests that are telling people they have COVID has been recalled. These kids have no symptoms to very mild symptoms if they've been told they have COVID. I've not seen one child in the hospital.
But you have seen children in the hospital as a result of this inoculation that, by the way, has not been FDA approved. That's a big lie. It was approved for emergency use authorization. They used tomfoolery and words to trick the American public. But you have seen kids that have been adversely injured by these dangerous shots. Is that right?
I did not treat children while I was in the hospital setting. I was in those floors, but I didn't see any with COVID. But I've been seeing therapists work, like following therapists all day long for off and on for the last 2-3 weeks. I've been seeing children that are exposed to vaccinated parents, vaccinated healthcare staff that are having what I saw similar or exactly the same to the transmission. I'm also seeing teens in the community, just like we've had 4 teen deaths in community and surrounding areas in the last 3 months. I'm seeing kids, I literally was at a funeral service for one child a couple of weeks ago. At the funeral service, a 16-year-old collapsed and fell to the floor. The school systems around here are pushing the vaccination. The coaches in the schools are pushing the vaccinations. So I'm seeing in the community what I've spent 10 months in the hospital seeing. I'm just now seeing it enter into the teenage population and will soon be the younger than teenage population.
What about the parents of these kids? Are they acknowledging that the common denominator in all of these injuries and deaths is that all these people have either been vaccinated or around people who are?
What's scary is in the pediatric, and I've had exposure to 2 separate pediatric facilities, the therapists in there, a lot of them are vaccinated. What the community is not seeing, they're going by the propaganda. They're not seeing what I saw in the hospital. And I have friends that are, you know, knocking down doors, trying to tell everybody what's going on. The community is buying into all the billboards. The local hospitals are saying, get the shot. Unfortunately, you know, the medical professionals, a lot of them, especially in the pediatric setting, are not seeing it. What I shared with some of the people that I was working with the last few weeks, they were in shock. They didn't say absolutely not. They didn't disagree with me. That a lot of them were starting to put it together.
So
it's just, they're not getting the truth.
You left your previous job because you went to your overseers, your bosses, who said they're not going to acknowledge or report these as vaccine injuries. So now currently you're working with PEDS. Have you gone to your overseers with it? And what has their response been?
Well, I've been in the training process the last few weeks. And because I started realizing that the owners and a lot of the therapists were not engaged, I actually ended up taking another position. So after 3 weeks of training in the pediatric, I decided not to take it because I would literally be repeating what I did in the hospital. I went to doctors. I went to people over me, hospital administration. No one was willing to acknowledge. Actually, one doctor did acknowledge, but he basically said, there's nothing we can do. So my hands would be tied exactly the same way in pediatric setting as in the hospital. So I actually just turned down the position. I didn't take it.
Is it your intent to educate those people upon your departure from that
I'm talking to some of the therapists from there and telling them, and they one particular therapist knows exactly why I didn't take it. I'm talking to therapists at the hospital that I used to work with, nurses. I have group chats with multiple people in the hospital. They're starting to see it. Unfortunately, some of them are vaccinated and they're starting to see it. So I've got antennas everywhere, and I've even went to the school board. I've been, totally ignored by them. I went to the local mega church 3 times, totally ignored. I'm going to kick and scream until I can't kick and scream anymore. And I'm been interviewing and reaching out to multiple facilities in what I do. And I'm just going to keep kicking and screaming. And a lot of my friends that I used to work with are starting to do that too. So
you just said something that's really interesting to me, and it kind of brings up an internal question that I'm going to make external now. Do you think that there's a possibility that healthcare workers who were originally introduced to this, when we really didn't have any data, I mean, we didn't have anything to go on early on with these shots. Do you think that a lot of them that took the inoculation then, they maybe saw the mandate coming, they wanted to do the right thing, because healthcare workers, for the most part, are there to help people. They want to protect people. That is a nature. It's a calling. It's not something that you just go and do one day. That's a calling. And I admire that and I honor that, because healthcare workers truly are heroes if they're there for the right reasons. Do you think that a lot of them that subjected themselves to this fell for the propaganda, didn't really study it, didn't know the data, just assumed that the FDA would be looking out for their best interests? Do you think that they're now having remorse, that they have some sort of an insecurity about this, that they are miserable knowing what the possible outcomes of that injection might be, and that they're reluctant to come forward because they're scared of their own future and their own demise?
I've had one, and just this last week, admitted that to me. She's seeing that it's being ignored, and she's in utter paralyzing fear. I've had two other therapists after me left. One I know for sure was vaccinated, and he was pushing. I mean, he was very loud about it. And so I think that's why he left, and it was not expected that he would leave. Unfortunately, I think these people are starting to see what's in their future by the patients they've been treating for the last 10
months. So is there
a
danger that, you know, there's an old adage, misery loves company. Is there a danger of that? Do you think then healthcare providers that are themselves jabbed and go, this is not good, we should keep pushing this?
I don't know. I've been watching it from the beginning. So I've seen doctors, a lot of doctors. I don't know for sure what some of them, I think, did buy into it. I think some of them didn't. There's no way these doctors don't know what they're doing. I know in that hospital. My thing is, we're at a point where you can no longer trust your doctors. I'm literally telling people, unless you have an arm falling off or something major, do not go into a hospital, because I know what they're doing. The remdesivir, they're pushing the vaccine. One of the final straws with me was, I literally was treating a patient. It was literally the last, when I knew I had to leave. I resigned the next day. I was treating a patient, had no comorbidities except for obesity, was in there, had been in the hospital over a month for COVID. She had a cardiologist consult because she had some inflammation around her heart that morning. The cardiologist walked in while I was working with her, and she had been there a month away from her family, was hoping to go home soon, and told her as soon as she gets out of that hospital to go get the vaccine. I literally fell over. That was when I knew, you know, this is way bigger than us. Just the propaganda in this is like something we've seen before in our history. That's where we're at.
Well, and the hospital that you were at knows how you feel. The mega church that you're going to, they can ignore you, but you know that they're hearing you. You're not falling on deaf ears here, and you're going to continue to push at this pediatrics place where you did not accept the job, but you're going to continue in your groups and everywhere else. Your voice is loud. It is acknowledged. You are making a difference, and for that heroism, we're thankful. Thank you so much. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Take care.
Vaccine-police.com. You might recognize that website from a billboard in your local community or metropolitan area. That's because they're popping up all over the place. Christopher Key is the founder of Vaccine Police. This guy's voice is not going to be silenced. He's really bold and brave, has no fear. This guy is marching up into pharmacies serving Nuremberg notifications on pharmacists who are administering this death jab. He's confronting hospital executives, administrators. He's confronting big pharma CEOs. He lost his job, as a matter of fact, early on in this whole tyranny. He lost his job by confronting petty tyrants on a school board that wanted to throw medical devices, strap masks to these kids, regardless of what their parents said or how strenuously they objected. He won that argument. He said, I'm going to sue every one of you. Well, guess what they did? They made masks optional. They got rid of the mandate completely. Well, his communist boss didn't like that, so he fired him. God gave him a new calling, which is the vaccine police. Go to vaccine-police.com and support this guy if you can. I am happy that I started supporting him early on, and he continues to get my support financially and spiritually and morally and this platform in any way that I can. I will direct people to this website. Go give him $5,000 if you can. Go to vaccine-police.com. Give whatever you can, whatever you're called to do, whatever you're capable of at vaccine-police.com. But we've been desperately fighting through censorship, propaganda, battling a decades-long propagandist media that has lulled people to sleep, giving millions of unsuspecting people this false belief that their so-called news channel is the arbiter of truth. It's inherently false. We've been talking with experts. We've been talking with doctors, scientists, pharmaceutical whistleblowers, patients, victims, nurses, even the inventor of the technology inside of these death shots, and we won't stop. We will, however, pause. We want to switch our focus to treatment. Dr. Zev Zelenko is famously known for treatment. He's known for saving thousands of lives, including 99.9% of his high-risk COVID patients in upstate New York. Zelenko is a Nobel Prize nominee, as well as the recipient of the nomination for the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Dr. Zelenko believes in early treatment protocol, and for saying that, the globalists have attempted to silence him. He's been censored, deplatformed, even threatened for his humanitarian efforts to save lives. But he has not stopped, and I admire that. Dr. Zelenko has formulated the Z-Stack, which he refers to as the COVID killer. Zelenko's previously appeared on this program to describe how zinc is the bullet that kills COVID, quercetin is the gun that shoots the zinc, and how combined with vitamin C and D3 and all these other ingredients in his formula, we can help to keep people safe and healthy, safe from this engineered virus, the shedding, even from the ticking time bomb that Zelenko doesn't need to detonate. That's referring to people who may have already been inoculated and are now having some sort of a remorse. We've been making people aware of the Z-Stack, which you can find at zstackprotocol.com. And now Dr. Zelenko is joining us because he's making this formula available for kids. How important is this on a day where these FDA committee members who have relationships with Pfizer monetarily profiting from this going back decades? They didn't want us to expose that, but we did. But how important is it knowing that this can be now available for kids?
So let's describe the risk to kids. The CDC says that the statistics are that 99.998% of children will recover from COVID with no treatment. So I'm not afraid or worried that children will die from COVID, actually. In reality, influenza virus is much more dangerous to children than actually COVID. And we'll, there's a reason I bring that up. But in addition, besides dying, there is quality of life. And if there's a way we can mitigate the severity of the symptoms, if we can make them go away quicker, children will feel better, parents can go back to work quicker, the risk of transmission to the parents will be less. So it made sense to me to make a product that will target improve the immune systems and nutritional status of children. And by doing so, reduce the risk and severity of COVID, but more importantly, and this is the secret reason why I developed it, it most likely inhibits influenza virus.
Well, the secret is out now.
Yeah, think about that. And the reason why I say that, the biology is very simple, that all the COVID strains use RNA-dependent RNA polymerase enzyme to replicate. Turns out all the influenza strains use RNA-dependent RNA polymerase to replicate. So if I inhibit RNA-dependent RNA polymerase, I actually shut down... Sorry.
That's okay.
I not only shut down COVID production, but also influenza virus and replication. So influenza virus in like 2016, we had something like 50 million cases in America with 40,000 deaths, half of which were kids. So imagine instead of a flu shot, which in best case scenario works 20 to 30%, we could upregulate the immune system with nutritional supplementation and reduce the risk of children or adults actually getting influenza virus. I'm gonna tell you something very interesting. Influenza has been around forever. And can you explain to me how in the year that COVID breaks out, there's zero influenza going around?
I mean, yes, I can explain it, but let's hear your explanation.
And I actually tested everyone. I know we could say that it was misdiagnosed and it was labeled as COVID when it was really influenza, but I don't think so. I actually tested everyone for influenza and it was negative. In other words, they were COVID positive, influenza negative. So could you tell me, we already know that COVID-19 is an artificially made bioweapon, right? We know all the patents associated with the transformation of a bad virus into a human virus that kills lungs. We know this.
Yes.
It was released on purpose, and it has plagued humanity for over almost 2 years.
An intentionally released bioweapon. Yes, got it.
How is it that simultaneously there is no influenza?
Well, you've got me stumped.
Is it possible that influenza every year has been released? The only reason why I say that is, how do you turn off a global health issue that has plagued humanity for hundreds of years? And in the year that you have COVID come out, you have zero influenza. Where did it go?
Yeah.
So I'm raising the concern and the possibility that influenza may have the same pattern of as COVID-19 in terms of being turned on and off.
And that there are multiple variants, that the variants can be released, manufactured whenever it's convenient for the globalist agenda to create a beast system that locks down people into subservience and compliance.
And now, if I was really a sadist, how about this winter, since I want to really do some harm, I release both. So, and isn't it interesting that they both use the same pathway, RNA-dependent RNA polymerase? So I don't have any evidence. I'm not going to say for sure. I'm asking a simple question, a very logical question. Can someone please explain to me how a virus, the influenza virus, has plagued us for millennia? On the year that COVID comes out, is not present. It's vanished. I don't see a natural way that that could happen.
Every time I talk to you, it blows my mind. And the reason being is because, not because this stuff is unbelievable, but because you think that you have encompassed all of the evil or imagined all of the different ways that people, and then you look at Tony Fauci with these beagle dogs, and probably just a distraction away from all the experimenting that he's been doing on real human beings for the last two decades. But these are puppies that he's torturing.
Well, you know that cruelty to animals is a trait found in borderline personality disorder, antisocial personality disorder, and schizoid personality disorder. So it's not unheard of people capable of heinous crimes to animals being sadists and committing serial murders.
Heinous crimes against people, of course. This is why early on in child psychology, you know that if a child is hurting animals purposefully, that you want to keep a close eye on that, so I've heard, and that this is a major concern for people. If you will do it to animals, and if you enjoy the torture of animals, you're going to do it to human beings. It's a product of nature.
So I've looked back through my practice. You know, I've been a doctor 20 years, and there are things that I've done early in my career that I won't do now. Like, I won't advocate for the flu shot. And simply because in the best years, it was like 40% effective. And on average, it was 20% effective. And there are side effects, and it doesn't really work. So it's very convenient that every year there's a new strain that naturally mutated, right? Except that now we have a precedent where we've found out that science has developed technology to artificially mutate and release a bioweapon. Is it possible that, I think it's worth a look to go back and see if the previous influenza strains were bioweapons?
So
that created a need for the flu vaccine.
With limited time today, and we do a long form interview with you every so often, and we're looking forward to that. But with limited time today, I think it's really important that we talk about how people get this, so that they go to ZStackProtocol.com right now. They're going to find that the gummies are available for pre-orders, but the product won't be available until early in the first quarter of 22. Is that right? So just a couple of months from now is when kids will be able to eat these gummies. They're safe. They protect in the same way that the pill that I take from your protocol keeps me safe, and they're not going to harm kids or anything like that. They're going to keep them safe and protect them. Is it possible that it's going to protect them against this shedding phenomenon as well?
Well, if you don't, the shedding is don't take the flu shot. Don't take the shot. Shedding is a COVID-19 issue. COVID-19 vaccine issue.
The transmission of the people, whatever people are shedding that have been inoculated.
I think that it will mitigate the risk of that happening. But like, again, I think the benefit for the children will be the inhibition of an RNA virus, but most likely the influenza virus. And it'll also have the benefit of quicker recovery from COVID and less spread from the kids to the adults. So it's basically, in my understanding or my opinion, a replacement for the flu shot.
And if kids have already had the flu shot, because this is just something that they have normally done, should they still take the gummies?
Yeah, because the flu shot is only 20% effective.
Right, got it, yeah.
So again, I think this could completely revolutionize our understanding of treatment when it comes to RNA viruses.
Wonderful. I'm out of time. Go to zstackprotocol.com and check out the gummies. You can pre-order them now. And if you haven't put your other ones for yourself on auto ship, make sure that you do that. I've been taking it. And by the way, every time I post in Telegram and make your product available for people, I get just this plethora, a huge response of positive reaction that people have had, their personal experiences. I should screenshot them and send them to you. I'm sure that that would make you really happy. Dr. Zev Zelenko, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless you.
I don't know if you're aware of the bomb that Dr. Zelenko just placed there on the pharmaceutical industry, but that flu shot program is about a $50 billion a year rollout. And I'm interested to know the answers to those questions as well. ZStackProtocol.com. Go to ZStackProtocol.com to pre-order your stuff for the kids, these gummies. And if you haven't put yours on auto ship, get over there right now. ZStackProtocol.com. Well, we previously had William Castro on this show. He's a New York Department of Education administrator who has fought heroically to protect school children from these unnecessary vaccine mandates that we're talking about. But after refusing the jab himself and after coming on this show to talk about it, he just got put on unpaid leave. He's lost his job. We wanted to update everybody on his situation and offer whatever help we can. William Castro joins us now. So retaliation, the Department of Education hates and disallows free speech. Is that what we're getting?
Yeah, that's what we see here. We see, you know, a complete disregard for people's medical and bodily autonomy. But we do see things heating up. We saw a big protest on Monday. All the municipal unions were involved, police, fire department. We had a lot of patriots out. There were thousands of people just protesting and standing up for their freedom, walking across the Brooklyn Bridge.
You know, here you are. We are having you on to update everybody on your situation. You've lost your job. You no longer have pay. We're offering our help in any way that you can. And you just breeze right past that and go into how to continue to fight this tyranny. That is what a hero does. I mean, that is what a patriot does. You're standing on the rock of values and you're updating people on how they can join the fight. You're not throwing a pity party here.
Yeah, we have to keep fighting. I mean, it's unfortunate that I am on leave without pay, but I am trusting on God and, you know, I'm trusting in my faith. It is a difficult situation because, you know, I did find out that my wife is, you know, is pregnant with our second child. You know, we were trying for a while and this happened. So, you know, that's a blessing. And then a week later, I find out that I'm put on leave without pay.
Unbelievable. Well, God will never forsake you. He promises that. There are some other things that you want to talk about as far as mayoral candidates.
Yeah, so there's a big, important election coming up in New York City. So for those New York City viewers, we have three candidates that are on the card. We have Bill Pepitone. He's been showing up to our rallies all the time. He supports choice, and he's against any vaccine mandates. Then we have Eric Adams, which appears to be the favorite of the elite. And he is already spoken out that he's going to come after the kids next, and he wants a vaccine for all school-age kids. And then we have Curtis Sliwa, who's recently said that he's pro-choice. So we definitely don't want to see Eric Adams on as the next mayor of New York City.
Yeah, nor any tyrant. But it seems to be that New York loves to select tyrants. How does this keep happening in New York?
I mean, it's really troubling. It's really hard. You know, you have conversations with, you know, people walking across the street. Most people understand that what's going on is not right, but people just are afraid to speak up. And we really need people to start standing, standing up for their rights and other people's rights. Because one day, you know, you think it doesn't impact you, but it will impact you. So we do have the lawsuit. Our lawyer is filing for an appeal with the Second Circuit this week. So we're hoping that we will get some relief in the courts there. But it just really goes down to, you know, which judge is going to make the right decision.
Yeah. All right, William, well, you're a common sense person. And I really admire your fight. And I mean, you're just steadfast in protecting these children. That's a hill that I will die on. And so whether you're comfortable with it or not, I want to if there is there any information, I mean, do you have like a GoFundMe or do you have any kind of a crowdfunding account?
I actually have a Give, Send, Go. If people, you know what, support, I would greatly appreciate
we
it.
We want to put that link at StuPeters.tv. So how do people come and support you on your Give, Send, Go account?
So it's givesendgo.com/standwithus.
givesendgo.com/standwithus. And you can support William Castro in his fight. This guy is a Department of Education administrator who came on this program to speak out against these unconstitutional, overreaching, dangerous mandates that will force school children to be injected with this jab that has been proven to be dangerous and in many cases deadly. We've been covering it today. We know why there's a push. We know why the push is happening. It's all about money, control, compliance, and creating a beast system.
Yeah, and when you look at the policies, it's sad because most of these children who are taking these jabs at who are 11 up already, they're taking it because they're saying, oh, I want to participate in sports and activities in the school. And this is what the school system is doing to our children.
They're holding this over their head. Yeah,
and then we have the FDA, you know, they're discussing right now, probably as we speak, they're still, you know, debating on whether they're going to approve this stuff for between 5 and 11. It's outrageous.
It's sad. It's disgusting. It's grotesque. givesendgo.com/standwithus. givesendgo.com/standwithus. William Castro, we do stand with you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you.
The list of adjectives that I could use to describe these petty tyrants is limitless. It's infinite. Grotesque and disgusting were just a couple that immediately came to mind. But steponsocks.com allows me to step on them physically, literally. Go to steponsocks.com right now. Get yourself a version of these Step On Socks. They are limitless as well. Steponsocks.com is Patriot-founded. A three-pack of these socks for just $17.76. They're all cotton, 100% designed by Patriots. The ones that I'm wearing today, speaking of New York, feature Cuomo, as well as Newsom, Pence, and Whitmer. These people are absolutely tyrants. You can step on them. It gives you a sense of satisfaction. The classic version, here I am pictured in the studio wearing the classic version. Obama, Clinton, Fauci, Gates, Biden, Pelosi. Wouldn't you love to step on them? My favorite, though, is the Trust in God. Here, bring the camera back to me. The Trust in God sock. This one is great. It features the cross, Trust in God here. You can step on sins all day long. Brilliant. These things are absolutely brilliant. Wish I would have thought of it myself. Silver, by the way, I'm receiving my second package of silver today from Step On Socks. Yep, they sell silver there as well as Second Amendment flags, Trump One flags. There's a Trump One flag exclusive to Step On Socks. Go there right now. Make sure that you mention Stu Peters when you go to steponsocks.com. Well, the propaganda and communist lies, the full-on deceit, continue to pour out of the Biden regime as the fake president is set to roll out a new portion of his Build Back Better agenda. And they're going to market it as a billionaire tax. But that's just inherently false. It's not true. Because if you're viewing this program, you're likely not a billionaire. And that tax is coming after your retirement. That's the subject of today's Money Minute with Carlos Cortez. He's our in-house financial expert, founder, and CEO at Cortez Wealth Management. So these radical progressive communists, they've been salivating over Americans' 401k and IRA retirement investment accounts for years. And now they're just going to pull the trigger. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's their sneaky, divisive way. Whenever they don't get anything want or a bill passed, what these idiots love to do is just write the fine letters, like the devil's in the details, in these 3,000-page massive bill that no one ever reads. I don't have time to read it. You sure as heck don't have time to read it.
Our lawmakers don't even read these bills. I mean, honestly, they admit that. Oh, the bills are too long. We don't read them. Nancy Pelosi famously said, you have to pass it to find out what's in it. Now we're stuck with what we call Obamacare.
Exactly. And so, unfortunately, like the Bible says, you know, my people suffer from a lack of knowledge. It's true in this case because, unfortunately, when you take Social Security at age 66 or before 66 and you make over $19,320 and you have $1 million IRA, you just learned a very expensive lesson that anything over that 19,000 mark is a 50% tax penalty, not tax. And that's what they're doing here. They're just sneaking their idiotic ways on how they can print more money, penalizing your IRAs, because at the end of the day, you don't own your IRA. You are a participant, not an account owner.
I know that you're licensed and your licensing prohibits you from saying certain things live on the air, but can you say this? Do you have a solution to this if people call you, if they come to you?
Absolutely. We have a new revised online class this week, MerritFirstRetirementPlan.com. I'm personally doing it, Stu. I made time to help our listeners and our viewers, and I truly care about the situation on creating a solution to avoid the massive tax trap that is coming like a freight train.
Incredible. You heard it here, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Again, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Carlos, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow. Until which, at that time, we want to remind you also to visit our great friends. I was talking about this online last night, and I want you to know, if you are experiencing shoulder pain, muscle pain, ligament pain, visit our veteran-owned friends at AmericaFirstOil.com as well. Okay, because that's a veteran-owned company. We appreciate those people. Until that time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car. And when they do, save the